And I am so excited about next Sunday that we get to celebrate two services. And I want to overemphasize this today because a lot of times they say that you need to hear things four or five times before it registers that we won't be having church at 10:30, but at 9:30 and 11:30. And I want to encourage you to do something incredibly great. I want you to invite somebody to join with you at church. Did you know this? There was a survey done a few years ago that said that 75% of all people would come to church if somebody would just invite them. That somebody would just ask them to join with them. And I believe this next Sunday could change a person's life for all of eternity. All you have to do is ask them, invite them. We're going to be able to share who Jesus is and what he has done for us. I want to share this before I bring in the... I'll do the announcement, then I'll share what God put on my heart here. I want to also let you know that there's still great time to register for our Finding Financial Freedom class that starts not next Sunday, but the week after from 1:30 to 3 o'clock. We already have 20 people that have registered to do this, which lets me know we're talking about something that people really need to see God help them with. And that's what we're believing, that you're going to find financial freedom in your life, that you don't have to live under the burden of debt. I just felt while we were worshiping, and this was kind of a strange thing that God would speak to me about, because it was about the opportunity, as you see our worship team, I just really believe that there are some more musicians that are in our audience. And one of the great needs we have is probably in all of the different areas, but especially for people that can play guitar. And I just felt in my heart, the Lord just spoke to me today that said, there's somebody here that's like, yeah, I could do that. And so I want to encourage you to reach out to us. You can reach out to us through info@eastsidecitychurch.ca or go to the info desk out in the foyer and grab one of our Connect cards and just write down, hey, I'm that guy that Pastor was talking about that could play guitar. And just leave us some information and we will get a hold of you. All right. Well, today we conclude our series, Finding Financial Freedom, Defeating the Giant of Debt. Now, this series that I've been sharing over the last month is a little bit different than most people would expect to see at church. It's been a lot more information, some teaching, but encouraging people that God's design for your life is for you to be free. And one of the things that I have discovered binds people up more than they realize is dealing with debt in their lives. It robs people of sleep. It takes people in a place where they feel like they can be overwhelmed at time. We've talked about how I know that even when I have been in that place as in the past of my life, that you can have anxiety where it just overwhelms you. Did you know as well, we've talked about that it's the number one reason why marriages fail, our financial issues and problems. And so today we're going to conclude this and talk about a few things about what God wants to do at that next level as we are free from debt. What is the next place that God wants us to build in our lives? And so I say this today that just as David, because we started off by talking about David, embraced five stones and a sling and the confidence that God was with him, I hear the sound of victory and celebration because the giant is being slain. I declare as you pick up your stones, and we've talked about a few different stones over the past few weeks, that as you would embrace the stone of saving, as you learn to destroy debt, you pick up the stone of living on less than you make, as you embrace the stone of giving each dollar an assignment, and you learn to pay with cash, and unleash them against the enemy of our peace and prosperity, the giant is going down. I declare that the giant is being defeated today. And so I want to review a few things that we've talked about. To defeat the giant of debt requires that we master our money so that our money does not master us. You see, you're not to be controlled by money, but you are the one who's to take control of your money to honor the Lord. You see, the debtor, the Bible says, becomes the slave to the lender. And the only person we're called to serve, or in some passages it talks about being a slave to you, that is Jesus. That's who is to lead us, direct us, and guide us. You see, number two, to defeat the giant of debt requires that we have a strategy to remove consumer debt. And if you don't have this and you're new here today, I ask you to encourage you to go online. We talked about that we're called to learn and follow the debt snowball. And as we pay down the debt from the smallest amount to the largest, we are each and every day gaining more freedom. See, to defeat the giant of debt begins with developing a budget where we give each dollar a task to perform on our behalf. You see, it is our job to tell our money what to do, not our money telling us what we have to do. And those tasks, the four tasks, are to give, to spend, to save, and to invest. You see, people who assign these tasks, listen to this, to their money spend about 20% less than those who do not. That's a lot of money if you add that up over time. Now, I need to clarify something that I shared last week about how I believe it is best to have joint bank accounts. And I do believe that is important in the right situations. I believe it. However, if you have a partner who is struggling with an addiction or dishonesty, it is wise to have separate bank accounts until the healing and restoration is there. I know there are some people that came to me very concerned. I'm glad to hear that you're listening, and I want to give you an answer. You see, it's not a reason to control our spouse or our partner, but to protect you and your family from toxic behavior. Okay, can you receive that from me today? So today we're going to go into our last message, and it's, as we begin the message in our series, it's called Building a Legacy of Wealth. I believe this, that God's design, you know, isn't just for us to get out of debt, but it's to build a legacy of wealth. And I'm going to start with this question today. How many of you like good barbecue? You like good barbecue. You look forward to it. If you're like me, it doesn't matter whether it's springtime or summertime. I mean, I've cooked twice on my barbecue in January and February. A little chilly, but I like to eat barbecued stuff. Or maybe for some of you, your preference is like a savory stew. Well, I want to say this. Now, for someone who grew up, this is my life a little bit, in the fast food line of McDonald's, Taco Bell, Wendy's, or anything like that, a home-cooked meal was a special treat for me. I remember each year on my birthday, my mom would ask me where I wanted to go to eat for my birthday. And I know a lot of you would be like, ooh, let's think of like, you know, a steak place or Red Lobster, whatever it is that you like, a good Italian restaurant. And here's what I would always say. My answer was always the same. Can I have a home-cooked meal? And the reason home-cooked meals were special for my sister and I was because my single mom, for most of my childhood, was either working or going to college. So she was sacrificing her time so that we could get out of poverty and have better opportunities. And one of the costs is she rarely had time to cook for us at home. I want to give you context. Now, as I got older, I discovered how awesome good barbecue was. Now, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. The tender fall off the bone meat. You know what I'm talking about? That you can cut with a plastic fork. The amazing seasonings. The smell that draws you in. But most importantly was the taste that melts in your mouth. Come on. You see, the best tasting barbecue, you know this if you have cooked it, is meat that has been seasoned for a day or two and then slowly roasted on a low heat. I'm talking like 4 to 8 hours. You know, it doesn't happen quickly. And typically, the longer it is roasted, the better it tastes. Let's stop. Let's go have some barbecue right now. Now, I want to say this. The best things in our life, this is why I'm sharing this, including our finances, typically come from repeating a good process over time. It's when you don't look for things to happen quickly. You don't look to get rich in a few moments or a week or a year or two, but you actually give it time. You allow time to do that. You see, having patience, which we talked about, which is delayed gratification, and you partner it with determination or self-discipline to keep working the plan that leads to financial freedom and other blessings. The byproduct, listen to this, of getting out of debt is it gives each one of us the opportunity to gain wealth or what we call prosperity. Listen to what Proverbs 13:22 says. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. That's the Bible. You see, wealth is the overflow that comes from living godly principles. I love what Dave Ramsey says. Live like no one else, or people might make fun of you. People might think you're a little bit weird because you're saying no to this and that, and you're making wise choices so that later on you can live and give like nobody else. Now, I want to say this because I use the word prosperity. In the church, that can sometimes feel like a dirty word. And unfortunately, the word prosperity became dirty because of the abuses of certain leaders, certain church leaders who taught that truly successful and a blessed life included crazy prosperity. Now, I don't normally like to talk about other people, and that's all I'm going to say on that. But what I want you to know is that they would teach things like you could become rich through bold declarations and through ultra-generous giving. That if you gave a large amount, you can expect big blessings of 30, 60, and 100-fold. And there is truth in that, but it's not going to happen in a month or a week or sometimes even 5 years, 10 years. You just don't know. That's up to God. And the problem was that there was no teaching about changing poor character and learning good financial habits, or what I like to call financial literacy. You see, it doesn't matter how loud you yell or how much you give. If you have not disciplined your spending and your character, the character to do the right thing with your finances, you will not experience consistent financial blessing. That's just the truth. So what I'm talking about in this series is not just a quick fix type of a thing. It's learning proper habits and right character so that you can experience the peace that God has for you and the blessing that he has. You see, prosperity or wealth is not a blab it or grab it thing, but the result of living out a plan based on godly principles. To produce wealth is a process that takes not only discipline, but requires time, just like that great barbecue. It's not a quick thing. You see, I believe that healthy giving and generosity do produce blessings when they are coupled with the character and discipline that honors God. Here's what I share at Eastside City Church all the time. We don't give to get. We give to honor God. But because God is good, he cannot help but bless his children when they honor him. That's his nature and that's his character. I remember one time my wife and I made a little bit of a thing. We were newly married. And I'm going to tell you that quick get rich quick schemes are exactly that, a scheme. See, when we were first married, with some other members of our small group, we were all in it together, we became involved in a scheme that promised if we invested $2,000 in a year or two, we would receive $100,000. Now, who wouldn't be excited if that was the way it worked? And so we were young, and we kind of got rolled into this, and we were excited about the possibilities until we got a phone call from somebody you don't ever want to get a phone call from, the Alberta Securities Commission. They called us to let us know that the people we gave our money to were scammers that had stolen millions from ignorant, I had another word in there, but I decided not to use it. I mean investors like us. You see, I want to tell you this. If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Listen to what Proverbs 13:11 says. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappear. Wealth from hard work grows over time. That's the New Living Translation. The NIV says, dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. So now because we are free from consumer debt, how do we make our money grow little by little? How do we do it? And I'm going to talk about a few things that people normally don't talk about in church, but how do you begin to build wealth? What are some things that you can do? Well, I believe this, first of all, by placing a portion of our money in sound investments like mutual funds or segregated funds. And I'm not going to be able to cover all of it. Index funds, that mirror different markets like the TSX or the S&P 500, which is in the state, or the NASDAQ. And you can now even invest in crypto index funds if that's what you're wanting to do. That's a little bit too for me at the moment. I have been there, but I know some are into that, and I'm not here to criticize it. Now, I don't want to go too deep here, as this will require too much time to explain. And that's where I'm going to say, come to the class where instead of a 20, 25-minute message, we're going to have an hour and a half together to be able to look at things more deeply. Now, when I talk about time and how things work in this way, the power of time is the greatest asset to growing invested money. It's what you want to do. The more time that you have, the younger you can start to build these saving habits, the more likely you're going to produce greater wealth. Now, I had this handout, and it said this: if you started investing $2,000 a year into a tax-free savings account that produced a 10% gain over the year, when you turn 19, when you turn and you did that until you were 26, so that's $16,000, and you never invested again at age 65, listen to this, you would have $1,035,000. See, this is what we should be teaching our children about. You see, the education system does not teach people how to properly handle money. And I think as parents, whatever we can do to share that with them, and you begin to help them get on this journey before they've got any debt, before they've had to deal with anything, you're going to see blessing. But I say this because most of us are not 18 or to 20 years old right now. It can feel a bit just depressing because you'll be like, well, I missed that. Well, no worries. There's a plan for all of us. You start where you are. And I've been sharing that with some of the principles of Dave Ramsey's Peace University, that baby step four comes in, and that is that you learn to invest 15% of your pre-tax income in an investment plan. Now listen to this. If you invested this income and you only made $50,000 a year, for some of you that might seem high, for others it might seem low, at the 10% interest, after 10 years you would have $144,000. And that's starting with zero other investments. Now, if you had 20 years and you did the same thing, listen to this, you would end up with $500,000. The greater amount of time, the better the returns over that time. Now, I want to say this, where do you go? What do you do? How do you begin to do this? I think it's important to have a financial advisor, somebody that you can talk to that has been trained in these areas. Figure out what you would like to retire with or what you'd like to live on. Decide when you want to retire. Do you want to work to retire at 55, 65? Are you okay not retiring until 70? I know I don't want to retire at 70, but maybe. Determine what your risk tolerance is. Higher returns usually require higher risk. And look to do lump sum investing whenever you can. That's putting a big amount. Maybe you get an inheritance. Maybe you get a big bonus at work. There's a lot of things that you could look at. And it might require a side hustle, or what we call a second job. Some people do that. They just have this other job so they can begin to build more of their investments. It's whatever you're willing to do. See, that's our first principle. But here's the second thing that you can do for growing wealth. Buy a house. Home ownership is a great investment for three reasons. Listen to this. It's for savings plan. It's a hedge against inflation, and it grows tax-free. Did you know that in Canada, for those of you who are younger, if you live in a home for a year, when you sell it, you don't get taxed on it. It's your money. Now, I want to tell you some things about, I say it's a forced savings plan. In January of 2006, if you bought a home there, the average sale price or value of homes was $206,000. I know some of the people here are like, oh, I wish I could see that now. And I remember when my wife and I bought our first house, you know, it was just, it was a little bit less than that. And we thought it was the most massive amount of money we'd ever seen. I know people today are like, that's nothing. The average sale price of a home last year was $585,000. The cumulative annual gross rate was 5.35%. Not awesome, but steady. And here's why it's important. It beat what inflation was. Because over the last 20 years, inflation has been 2.29% in Canada. In the last 5 years, which has been a little bit more up and down, it's been 3.2%. You see, the property value increase has beat the cost of inflation by 2 to 3%. It grows tax-free. So why? When should you buy a house? That's a lot of times the question that people ask. Well, where do I start? What do I need to do? Number one, because we've been talking about this, is when you're debt-free. When you've paid off all of your consumer debt, all of the other things that you have. Secondly, is when you have an emergency savings plan. Now, according to Dave Ramsey, that's just $1,000. Then when you have saved 20 to 25% for a down payment. You see, in Canada, if you purchase a house with less than 20% payment, you have to pay CMHC fees, which is insurance that you pay to the government that protects the banks if you can't make your payment anymore. So the CMHC fees are up to 4% that's added right on top of your purchase price. So how do we buy a house? Well, you figure out what you can afford. You can go to a bank and they'll pre-approve you. But you look for a house that, for the best deal in the price range of the neighborhood you'd like to live in. You don't want to be the most expensive house on the block. If you can be the lowest, you're going to benefit the most when it's time to sell that. Use a realtor. They know what you do not and have access to more house options than you have access to. Now, I know, I hear this, we talk about this. I talk with my friends, my colleagues. Nobody likes to pay realtor fees. And people always like to complain about how much they make. But they offer you the most protection because they actually understand real estate and what there needs to do. Now, there are some good low-fee brokerages available to you. And here's the third thing I want to share with you if you're going to buy a house. Pay for a home inspector before you buy. You will thank me later. Now, how much of a mortgage should somebody get on a home? It's always a good question. Know this, that when you go to the bank and you get pre-approved, they'll probably pre-approve you for more than you can actually afford to pay on a monthly basis. And I've seen a lot of people that buy houses and they become what we call house poor. Does everybody know what house poor is? It's when you have a house, but you can't put any furniture in it. You can hardly eat. You can hardly do things. And I've seen people, I've watched them, and they're like, oh, we got the most house that we could afford. No, that's not a good plan. You see, a good plan is that you try to keep your mortgage under 25% of your take-home money. Why? Why would we do this? Well, you see, I grew up in the States. Things are a little different between the U.S. and Canada. In the U.S., you get your mortgage. It's for the whole life of your mortgage. You never have to renegotiate an interest rate. You don't ever have to do anything like that. This is what your payment is. But in Canada, we typically have what we call five-year mortgages. And if you're like me right now, my five-year mortgage is coming up this year. Well, who here knows that interest rates 4 or 5 years ago are a little bit different? They were pretty low. You could get a lot of stuff, but what happens when that interest rate goes up by 3 times or 2 times like it has in the last year? Well, if you don't have that cushion in your finances, your payment is going to could almost double, and that knocks a lot of people out. That's why we don't want to go for the full gusto when it comes to this. You also don't know if you're going to face challenges. Maybe somebody loses a job. Maybe somebody's health takes a turn for the worse. We want to make sure that we are protected. And I say this, most mortgages are 25-year amortizations. If you can make it a 15-year amortization, do it. Because it just means that you're going to more quickly pay it off. You see, remember, there is the idea behind this series is debt is not our friend. Even if we have debt for the mortgage, we want to get rid of that as soon as we possibly can. Now, there's so much more I could share on this. However, 30, 40 minutes on a Sunday does not allow that to happen, which is why I want to encourage you. Take the Finding Financial Freedom course, part one, starting on April 7th at 1:30 p.m. You are going to be blessed. So what's the last thing I'm going to talk about here today when it comes to finding financial freedom? Here's the third thing of the reason why I believe how we can do what God's called us to, how we can honor him. And that's the reason that we want to become debt-free, the reason we want to begin to build wealth and financial health is that it allows us to become generous. The goal of defeating the giant of debt is more than establishing peace, but to find financial freedom. I believe this, again, I share this, Dave Ramsey said, live like nobody else so that you can give and live like nobody else. See, it is the freedom to build wealth so that not only can you enjoy life, but by being able to enjoy the fruit of your labors. I want to say this to people here. It is okay for people to have nice things. God is not against that. He just wants you to honor him in everything you do. But it's also to leave a legacy to our children and their children. Wouldn't it be nice if your kids and your grandchildren could go to college for free? Who thinks that would be awesome? If you could help your children pay off a house or make a down payment on the house, wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Here's one of the things that I'm looking forward to do, taking our family on trips that will provide lasting memories. I think memories are way more important than gifts and things like that. Now, I know that this is the life I'm working to live, and I'm experiencing much of that now, but there's more. It is the opportunity to be able to give generously, both to God and those around us. It's the ability to give freely without guilt. What am I sacrificing? What am I having to give up here? Always having that battle of, which way should I go? Whether it is to the church, to a children's home, to other projects or God's people around us, it is the ability to give freely without guilt because we have nothing hindering us. You see, there's something great and satisfying when we can bless others. Here's what Paul writes in Acts 20, verse 35. And if I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Here's why. Because it's part of our DNA. See, some people don't realize it, that it's part of our DNA, why we were created by a generous God. He willingly gave his son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven, be restored in our relationship to him, and to be able to find freedom and blessing to live our lives for him. John 3:16, as we're in the Easter season, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, God the Father, who created each of us in his image, and I want to say that loud and clear today to everybody's here, that the Lord God, the God Almighty created each and every one of you in his image. Because it is in him, it is also in us to forgive like him, to live like him, and to give like him. As we celebrate this week Good Friday and Easter Sunday, may we be reminded of how good the God is that we serve. May we continue to become more like him. May you be free in every area of your life. I want you to know today I'm cheering you on. You see, I want to declare victory as we're going to close right now. The enemy has been defeated. There's a song that death could not hold him down. And it repeats it again. The enemy has been defeated. Death could not hold him down. And I want to say this to you. Because the enemy has been defeated, nothing will hold you down. And here's what I want to do today. I want to end this service. If everybody would just stand up for a moment. I want to end this service. And I want to take a few moments to say, come forward if you are feeling held down. If you feel like there's something that is holding you back, I'm here to declare to you that the enemy has been defeated. Nothing can hold you down. Come forward if there's any area of your life. If you want to defeat the giant of debt, listen to the giant of unforgiveness, the giant of addiction, the giant of fear, whatever is holding you back, let's allow God to take over this area and let the enemy be defeated. Come forward if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus. You see, as the song plays here, I would like to see people just begin to come forward if you are looking for freedom in your life, for whatever area it is. I'm believing that giants today are going to be defeated. Whatever is holding you back, come forward. and just join us right now. I'm going to come down to the front. If you are wanting to see God defeat some things that have been holding you back in your life, come join me here today. God is here to help. God is here to set free. God is here to break things off of you. Don't let fear, don't let any type of what you think people might think about you hold you back from receiving today what God has for you. Please join here today, because I believe God is here to break things off of us. I believe He wants nobody to control your life except Him by His Holy Spirit. God is so good today. Let's just begin to worship Him. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you, Jesus, for your kindness. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you today for who you are. Let's just begin even to worship the Lord right now. Come and join. Come and join here. God, Holy Spirit is here to break off of us whatever it is today. And maybe for you, you're in a place where maybe you're a little bit shy. Just allow God to minister to you right now. Father, we just thank you today. Lord, I thank you for every person that is here in this place. God, that you would just speak. You would release your freedom. You would release your Holy Spirit today. God, you do what only you can do today. Jesus, we pray that you would touch everyone here today.